Boy, a lot more people are saying this is it. It's the end of the world. Is it?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. We're going to have a special broadcast today. I'm going to talk to you first about speculation about the end of the world. The final apocalypse is here. Is it really? What does the Bible say? What does circumstances say? What should we make of this? And then bottom of the hour, I'm going to bring on a documentary maker, a brand new movie. I just finished watching it last night, documentary about Israel Today, an eye-opener. We're going to be talking about that at the bottom of the hour. But I do have some time for calls. I'm looking at the board. I've never seen this before. Every phone is X'd out. What does that mean, guys? I looked up at the board here. So, Truth, what is happening with our board? Everything has like a, wow, strange, this red circle and a line over it on every phone line. See if you can get that fixed. 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, this is Michael Brown. It's great to be with you. Thanks for tuning in today. The number to call, if we get this resolved, is 866-34-TRUTH. We better get it resolved soon because we got a guest at the bottom of the hour. And to get our Equipping Frontline newsletter, putting it together now to send out to you next week. Great testimony, stirring message, excerpt from one of my books, powerful quote, Hebrew word study of the month, other features like that, all free, all digital, all coming your way. You just need to subscribe. So take a moment, go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. And when you're there, just click on subscribe. So I noticed a few years ago announcements about movies that more and more seem to be talking about the end of the world. And obviously, for decades, there have been movies coming out, you know, this is it, this is the final conflict, or there's going to be some alien invasion or whatever the speculation is. And I'm sure novels in the past, before there were movies and before there was TV, and speculation about the end of the world and what's going to happen, is this the final crisis? I remember the Barry Maguire song, was it the late 60s, early 70s, the Eve of Destruction? And it was a protest song, you know, we're just making nuclear bombs, we're going to destroy each other. There were concerns about global cooling years back, and we're going to have another ice age. Now concerns about global warming and climate change. And of course, with the potential of a world war breaking out in the Middle East, because whatever happens between Israel and Iran, you better believe America's concerned, Russia's concerned, China's concerned. What happens if things spiral out of proportion or out of control in the war with Ukraine and Russia as Russia invaded Ukraine? What if that goes nuclear? What happens? What if NATO gets drawn in? What if the United States gets drawn in? What happens with that? There are all kinds of apocalyptic concerns. Obviously, people always talking about end time prophecy whenever there's something major happening in Israel, talking about end time prophecy. So these are all issues that bring a lot of tension, bring a lot of concern. And we live in an age now which is different than any other age in human history, an age in which news from around the world is instantly reported in real time and visibly in color, right to the palm of your hand, to your cell phone. We've never had that. We've never had a situation in which if a bomb drops in a certain part of the country or there is an earthquake in another part of the world, that as it's happening, we know about it. And here are pictures from the calamity, and here are people running from the scene. So we are bombarded constantly, these sensory images constantly bombarding us, and just day and night, doom and gloom and hopelessness and despair, and it's over, and it's very easy to develop an extreme negativity. It's easy to live in constant fear. There's a reason that some young people are waiting to get married, not just waiting to get married, but waiting to have kids because they're not so sure they want to bring a kid into a world like this, or if they think it's all falling apart. There is a new book that came out. I read a lengthy interview with the author of the book. It's about how in just a matter of minutes, the whole world could end with, let's say, North Korea, just scenario, launches missiles and then the response and then one thing after another. And basically, the world is not completely wiped out, but several billion people killed. And then the world changed because of all the nuclear bombs, that you do not have an environment in which you can have agriculture, in which you can have normal life. So it's just a miserable, slow death for everybody else. And it's you know, the researcher did a lot of work on it. I wish I remembered the exact title, because I hate to refer to something and not give you the exact title. But it was, you know, well-researched, and lots of military people were spoken to, and why it was plausible and could happen, et cetera. So there's a lot of that talk in the air. But I'm the same now as I was many, many years ago, saying the end is not yet. The end is not yet. The end is not yet. There remains much more gospel work still to do. There remains more to do in the growth of the church. I believe that that is the will of God, that we come into a greater place of maturity and unity before the Lord returns. I can't prove it categorically on every level, but the picture of the church for which Jesus is coming, the church for which he died in Ephesians 5, the Lord's Prayer in John 17 for unity, it's hard for me to believe that that prayer will not be answered on a greater level than we've seen before he returns. Things that still must unfold within Israel and the Jewish people. As I said, much gospel work remaining to be done, with maybe a third of the earth never hearing the name of Jesus to this moment. And let me share something else, which is major. We're God's children. We're part of his family. I don't believe that just suddenly out of the boom, everything changes and a dime, and then boom, we're gone. I don't see it like that scripturally. And I want to read this to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And Paul is talking there about the second coming. And notice what he says here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So, you know, you've already heard this. You've already heard me teach about this. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Now, let me say plainly that we are not in a situation right now where one is saying peace and safety. But let's keep going, because this is the point I want to get to that I think is so crucial. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. Did you see that? He's coming in as a thief in the night. For who? For those who aren't ready. For the world. Because we are children of the light and children of the day. Therefore, his coming for us is not like a thief in the night. You, brothers and sisters, are not in the darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. So the point is, we're part of his family. We're his children. It's not like this brother has a secret revelation that he got digging into the Hebrew manuscripts or Greek manuscripts, and he can tell us that when Jesus is returning and he's the one who figured it out. No, we're part of God's family. These are things that we will know. These are things that will be clear as we walk in the light, as we walk in readiness, as we walk with our eyes wide open in the presence of God, as we walk with sobriety in this world, not partying, not carousing, not living like children of the darkness. As we get really close, we'll know it. It will be clear. It won't be some ambiguous thing. Look, have you ever seen, before really bad weather comes, that animals behave in an unusual way? I've seen sometimes people say, look, all the cows in the field are laying down. You're driving by some field. Or your dog starts getting agitated. You don't know why. Or birds are just flying. Why are they all flying in this direction? They have a sense that we don't have. They have certain ways of measuring things and feeling things that we don't have. Because of that, they know that something's wrong, right? Some people have a sixth sense that we talk about, certain ways in their lives. I believe as Jesus has given us signs of his coming, as other scriptures lay things out, that it's not going to be ambiguous and you just have to watch this viral video to figure it all out, or get my new book to figure it all out, what's going to happen in the dates, and we've deciphered it. No, it's going to be clear because we're walking in the light. The degree of shaking, the degree of intensity, the degree of God working, the degree of Satan working, the degree of upheaval around the world, and God's kingdom advancing like we've never seen before. Whatever we've experienced thus far is a fraction of what's going to happen as we get closer and closer to the end of the age. So whether it's in 5 years or 50 years or 100 years, God knows. The reality is we live with sobriety today because these are urgent, critical, absolutely critical times. In many ways, unprecedented in our nation's history and world history. Times of great shaking, times when people are full of fear and anxiety, times that we need to grab hold of as God's people and say, let's shine our light now. Let's live for God now. Let's preach the gospel of Jesus now. In the midst of the confusion and the concern and the upheaval, let's bring a message of eternal salvation and eternal hope. The world is ripe to hear the gospel. Back with your calls and then my special guest, bottom of the hour.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. Have you ever noticed that you're not as strong as you would like to be? Is your muscle strength and even balance not like it was just a few years ago? I want to introduce to you Mile Health, an amazing product packed with 9 essential amino acids that has been clinically proven to build strong, lean muscles at any age. This formula has 25 human studies and over $20 million in scientific research. It has been used by the U.S. Olympic swim team, the NASA astronaut program, the U.S. military, and yes, by thousands of people just like you. It has made such an incredible difference in my life that just recently, in my annual physical, my physician said, "You have unusual strength and balance for a man of your age." Thank you, Mile Health. Here is our special offer for you as a Line of Fire listener.
Feel stronger, have better balance, and improved quality of life. Try MyoHealth for yourself. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. Call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com.
With the MyoHealth, my strength has gone up. I was doing weight that I haven't done since my 20s. And I usually ride my bike to the gym, and then on the way back, after I've done my weight training, I'm huffing and puffing. And on Sunday, I rode my bike there and back, and I had so much energy. I'm telling you, with the MyoHealth, amazing. I can't believe it.
Try MyoHealth for yourself. Call 1-800-771-5584, 1-800-771-5584, or online at TRIVITA, trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. We've got a special Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast coming your way. Shout out to our co-sponsor, Trivita. This morning, I had a dentist appointment, then after that, moved, 30-something bags of mulch around different parts of the yard so Nancy can work on that while I'm away ministering. And it was just hot and sweaty and muggy, and I just needed to replenish. And MyoHealth, that's what I did immediately after. So I practice what I preach. Check these things out for yourself. 800-7-SLEEP. You take this pill. And it'll help you lose weight. You know, I'm talking about some over-the-counter thing, right?
Reconnected.
Or,
we have a storm
brewing in our area.
It's the most embarrassing.
It took our computer out. It shut us down.
I was flying
like
one time.
Reconnected.
And flipping through some
so,
online.
So sorry for the interruption
in flight
the
magazine.
Of the broadcast.
And there was this.
Watching on YouTube. Hopefully we're reconnected as well. Everyone listening on radio is like, what? All right, so. Storm took us out. Hopefully we are back. Let's try to go to the phones. We'll start in Texas with Casey. Are you still there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, Dr. Michael Brown?
Yes. Okay. So glad we're connected. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Dr. Michael. Enjoy listening to your show. Also enjoy hearing you come and speak at Mercy Culture every now and again. My question is, I've been seeing a lot of things online about, these red heifers that have been shipped in from Texas and Israel. And since the topic of today's is about, is the end of the world at hand? And people are pointing at this as kind of being some kind of sign of like end time prophecy or, the possibility of, Israel or Jews wanting to build a third temple. I was wondering if you could speak to, does this have any significance from a Christian standpoint? Would love to hear your perspective as somebody who's, messianic.
You bet. Yes. Actually, right after the show today, I fly down to Texas and scheduled to teach at Mercy Culture School tomorrow and Friday. So, and then there for the Reformation Conference. So I should be speaking Sunday, June 23rd at Mercy Culture. Okay. If you go to thelineoffire.org, and just search for heifer, you'll see my recent article on it. You'll also see a recent broadcast I did about it. So thelineoffire.org, just in the search engine, search for heifer. But I'll answer your question quickly. I don't believe we should be paying any attention to this, making any big deal of it, because here's the deal. The significance of the red heifer goes back to the book of Numbers and the waters for cleansing from impurity. So when an Israelite would get defiled for any number of reasons, and things that just happen in daily life, etc., that you'd have to go outside the camp and you'd have to be cleansed with the waters of to take away impurity. And in making those waters, you would take a red heifer that had never been yoked and completely unblemished. So this red cow, and you would kill it, and then it would be burnt, and its ashes would be mixed with the water. So with the destruction of the Second Temple in the year 70, and no more access to the waters for impurity, the entire Jewish world has theoretically been in a state of uncleanness, because everybody, you know, many things can happen in life that can make you ritually unclean. So at some point, when there's a third temple, then you need to have a spotless red heifer that's never been yoked, etc., and it needs to be killed, and then you could have the ashes. So for years, people have looked, is this the red heifer? Could this be? So you've got some Christian cattle people, I think, in Texas, and they've got three red heifers and sent them over to Israel, and they were careful. They didn't, like, brand it in any way or put a tag in the ear because that would have blemished it. So they were, you know, hip to all of that. But there's nothing you can do with it. And in other words, there's no temple, and there's no prospect of building the temple. You've got the Al-Aqsa Mosque there. And for something to happen, for the temple to actually be built, would be massively cataclysmic. So the red heifer is almost an afterthought. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, very interesting, very nice, but there's nothing to it. You can't do anything with it. It doesn't mean the end is any closer. These animals may all die, and there may be 10 new red heifers before you finally get to the one where you can use one. But, you know, in Jewish tradition, the final red heifer is part of the Messianic era, etc. So that's what we're waiting for. But I'm looking at the big picture, and the big picture is there's no temple, and there's no way to build a temple. And even if you could have, theoretically, ritual impurity aside from a temple being built, let's just say theoretically you could do it. So there's still no temple. So it doesn't matter. I pay no heed to it whatsoever. I don't mean to smash people's excitement, but I pay zero attention to it. Hey, thank you for the question. I'm going to grab one more call. Rita in Arkansas. Time is short, so dive right in, please.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much for taking my call. I had two questions, but I'll narrow it down to one. So the example of Isaac blessing Jacob in Genesis chapter 27,
yes.
For me, it seems like a literal blessing. My question is, how can one possess the power to bless their child? Because it seems like a literal transfer from Isaac to Jacob.
Yes.
And it seems like this was a tradition in their family, and then eventually it tapers off. So what happened to that, and how do you interpret that? Thank you.
Yes, so thank you. Great question, Rita. Number one, it was real. It was transactional. In other words, it wasn't just words. Like, hey, Rita, you have a great day, and may you win 10 lottos and give the money to the poor, you know. No, it wasn't just like wishful stuff. That's why, you know, Esau weeps, because Jacob gave Isaac the best stuff. So the blessings were real. They were tangible. And on the one hand, you could say it was part of the tradition of ancient peoples, that the elder, you know, the father, or the grandfather would bless the offspring and bless the next generation. But in this case, it was because they were righteous in relationship with God and part of his redemptive plan. In other words, they weren't just speaking their own words, but they were speaking as God's agents. So do we have that same power? Well, no, we're not the patriarchs standing in that same path of redemption, you know, leading to the promised seed. But I would say this, to the extent that we're in harmony with God, to the extent that we're walking in fellowship with God and have his heart and mind, that we can pray good things for our children in the same way that we're in harmony with God, we understand his will, and we pray his will over our children and speak those words, I believe, to the extent we're in harmony with God, we can be agents of speaking blessings. So we do not have the power in ourselves to just say, I'm going to bless you with this or bless you with that or create things with our own words. But if we're in harmony with God, he can pray through us, he can speak through us, and we can speak blessing that has substance. But again, only to the extent it's authored in heaven. Thank you so much for the call. Back with my special guest. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name. Not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world. God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you and joined by a special guest. A couple months ago, I got an update documentary I'd participated in when I was in Israel some years ago, was now ready to be previewed, and I've watched it from beginning to end. It is really well done. It's got some great footage in it, and it's going to be released shortly. So you get to hear about it first on The Line of Fire. My guest, Brian Sanders. Brian, thanks for joining us. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Well, thank you, Dr. Michael Brown. It is a pleasure and honor to be joining you and your audience today. And also, thank you so much for participating and being in our film.
Oh, it's a joy. I'm so glad to actually do it from the land of Israel. Talking about Israel and, you know, watching the footage from the past, you know, from the independence of Israel in 47, 48, to the amazing things that have happened in the land and the transformation of the land. And then from hearing from so many believers there and with such great perspectives. I love the way it was put together and it kept my attention, found it inspirational as well. New documentary on Standing with Israel. So, Brian, let's start here. Why in the world you? What's your background? How did you feel called and burdened to take on such a big project?
Well, thank you so much for asking that. Well, I actually was raised in Catholicism in a Catholic family home. And when I was 22 years old, I found that I could have a personal relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus, Yeshua. And from there, I guess years gone by, and in all my times I've been in the church and walking with the Lord, I never heard a sermon on what it's called to be grafted in, as Apostle Paul talks about in Romans 11. And then when I started learning about God's covenants with his Jewish people, his beloved people, and the nation of Israel, the only people group and nation on planet Earth that God made an everlasting covenant with, and whom we are grafted in as believers, from my background, I'm grafted in, as it says in Romans 11. I started wondering, how come we're not hearing much about this, about being grafted in the church, and what I've heard in sermons and from pulpits. And our film, Why Stand With Israel, is really just a film to educate and inspire the global church to live out their biblical responsibility to stand with Israel. And so I also found out about a thing called replacement theology, which you have shared many times and taught for decades on. And I would say you're probably one of the preeminent experts on it. I didn't even know what that was when someone confronted me on it. And I thought, did I add or subtract from God's word? Did I misquote it, take it out of context like some people do? And when I found out what it really was, I realized, wow, yeah, I certainly have done that. And especially with some of the circles or churches I was a part of. And again, we're not here to condemn the church in this film. It's really just to educate, inspire them, pointing back to scripture. And really, I use myself as an example. I had a replacement theology in me, and the Lord had to show me why that is wrong. That is completely wrong. It's completely contrast to what his word is and who he is, and that he made an everlasting covenant with his people. He's a God that doesn't lie or change his mind, according to Numbers 23:19. And I thought, who are we to change and twist his word? And so I had to repent from that, Michael. And I also realized, even as a believer, I had some anti-Semitism in me that I had to also repent for. And I saw that even in the church, and taking scripture out of context and going along with scripture that the Jewish people are stiff-necked. And it's not that God can't regraft his covenantal people back into the fold, as it says in Romans 11. And, you know, it's just that we have to get back to God's promises and the heart of his word of why he chose this people and this nation in comparable in size to the state of New Jersey. And so that's all we're trying to do, is point the global church back to God's heart and his word of why he chose this beloved people and land that he made an everlasting covenant with.
So for you, this was something that really started with God and his word, that this was something that as you grew as a believer, you became convicted by reading the word. You know, I found it so interesting, Brian. I've been in remote parts of the world and met people there, believers, who pray for Israel on a daily basis, and I'm the first Jew they've ever met, you know, sometimes the first white person they've seen, and they've been praying for Israel all these years, because they got saved and they read the Bible. And as they read the Bible, God wrote these things on their hearts. And then as I would share with them about the history of anti-Semitism in the church, I mean, they're shocked. Just how? No, that's not possible. How could that be? It seems so foreign. So I appreciate your honesty and candor in terms of things that you worked through. When you went to Israel the first time, how many years ago was that? And what impact did it have on you?
Well, I was working full-time with the Christian Broadcasting Network, and I was there to cover President Obama's only visit there. And I started realizing the roots of our faith. The roots of our Christian faith, it comes from Judaism. And, you know, Yeshua was fully Jewish. His last name, and forgive me, I'm not trying to be crass in any way or disrespectful, but his last name's not Christ. It's a title, and his Hebraic equivalent is the Messiah. And then I started seeing why he sent his only son to this land, and why Jerusalem is known as the city of God, the city of the great king. I mean, there's no other nation on planet Earth that God talks about in his word from Genesis to Revelation than the nation of Israel, approximately 2,400 times. And that also includes Jacob's name being changed to Israel. But still, it's like God has been trying to get a hold of his bride, the bride of Christ, to stand with this first betrothed bride, the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. And I felt like I was part of this disconnect along with the global church on not understanding the covenants or not realizing why he chose them and the nation of Israel to bring him glory and make his name great throughout the earth. And even says in scripture that Jerusalem will be the praise in all the earth. And so I wonder in 2015, when God gave me this mandate, why don't more Christians and believers stand with Israel? How come it's not talked about much from the pulpits? Is it something politically? And then God opened my eyes and showed me that it was replacement theology and something that I also had. And so I really did this film to kind of blow the shofar, so to speak, in the church, kind of point the church believers back to God's heart, back to his word, why he sent his only son there. He didn't send them to New York, L.A., London, or Paris, or Dallas, where I live. He sent them to Israel, and that's where he's coming back, and that's where he's going to set up his millennial kingdom, and Jerusalem will be the praise in the earth, as scripture says. And so I want the church to see God's heart on display in this film, see all the promises that we put in scripture in the film. You're going to hear it, you're going to see it, and you're hopefully you'll truly learn and grasp God's heart, why he chose this beloved people. He says, are mine. These are my people. He goes, I will be your God. You will be my people, and I will be your God. And this land is mine. He says that so many times in scripture, and that's what I'm hoping the church will get out of our film, that God loves the Jewish people and the nation of Israel.
Where do you go to watch this?
They can go to our website on May 14th, which is Israel's 76th birthday. We're going to have our international release, our launch, and that's at whystandwithisrael.com. And you can just go there, and we'll have our digital download available. They can get it for 25% off if they put in a coupon code Israel25. And we'll eventually have – they can actually buy a pre-sale of our DVD and Blu-ray, but the digital download will be available, and eventually we'll have it in multiple languages. And as you know, the church is not the American English-speaking church. We hope to have it in multiple languages so the global church can grasp God's heart for his beloved people and land.
All right. Whystandwithisrael.com. Again, friends, it's really well done. It gives you history, gives you perspective, gives you realization of the miracle of modern Israel. And then lots of scripture. There's a great feature at the end with Israeli children reading in Hebrew and English from the promises of God in the Hebrew Bible. Brian, how long did it take you to complete this project from start to finish?
Well, I didn't think it would take this long, but we know God's timing is perfect. 8.5 years. We started filming. I said yes to the project in 2015, and we began filming in 2016. So, you know, God's timing is perfect. And so I never, if you would have asked me 8.5 years ago that it would take this long, I probably would have been shocked and probably never believe you. But we all know God's timing is perfect. And really, now more than ever, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, need the global church to be standing with them in this hour. When you have the nations coming against the Jewish people, the United Nations, nation leaders have always been trying to delegitimize the nation of Israel, and now they're getting attacked physically, politically. They're calling for war crimes, as you see in The Hague, and all of this we combat in our film. You know, we defunct the lie that Israel is not an apartheid state. They're not an occupier. And we do that biblically, politically, and historically as well. And so I pray that our audience, your audience, those that love Israel or want to learn more about Israel, will truly see God's heart on why he chose the Jewish people and the nation of Israel.
Yeah. And again, friends, you'll find it both inspirational and educational, and obviously many, many, many hours have gone into this. So use the code Israel25 to get a 25% discount. Whystandwithisrael.com. And, you know, Brian, I get to participate in different projects over the years, and many times I don't even get to watch what I'm actually part of just because of the busyness of life. But I wanted to make sure I got to watch this. It was not a drudgery to watch. It was not one of those things I had to get through. And I was struck afresh by aspects of God's hand on the nation. And, you know, just a simple theme that comes through the documentary, if God can't be trusted to keep his word to Israel, his unconditional promises, his oath, if he can't be trusted to keep his word there, how can any Christian trust him to keep his word to the church? Hey, I've got a couple more questions for you. If you can stick around on the other side of the break another minute or two, that would be great. So go there now, whystandwithisrael.com, the official release, May 14th, and we'll post on social media as well.
Have you had a setback from an injury, accident, or surgery that left you feeling weaker and a loss of strength? Or are you feeling the effects of aging and just don't feel like you have the stamina or energy you used to? Then MyoHealth might be an answer to your prayers. Backed by 24 human clinical studies and over $20 million in government-funded research, MyoHealth contains a perfect balance of all 9 essential amino acids. With MyoHealth, you can rebuild your strength, improve your balance and mobility, have more energy while restoring your health and vitality, and start building new, lean, stronger muscle in as little as 30 days. By combining MyoHealth with a healthy diet and regular exercise, you can feel stronger at any age, have more energy, and live a life with vitality. Put the power of MyoHealth to work for you.
I started working out consistently for the first time in years, and I've lost 50 pounds. I've been lifting weights, I've been swimming, and then the muscle mass, that's what really surprises me. I can't believe at my age, I'll be 73 this fall, my life has changed. I'm not the same anymore. MyoHealth changed my life, definitely, and I just thank God for it.
I would definitely recommend MyoHealth.
I'm sold on MyoHealth.
MyoHealth tastes great, and it helps me in the gym.
I feel like I've gotten my strength back.
My upper arms are tighter.
I have a great deal more energy.
I encourage anybody to try MyoHealth.
It really works.
Call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com to place your order for products to support your wellness goals. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. You know, when you get our Frontline newsletter, you'll also get every week, an update on latest articles that I've written. I've been writing a lot about the campus protest and what we can learn from that, what's really going on behind them, the real ideology that's being pushed. Staying on top of what's happening in Israel, doing our best to keep our pulse on what God is doing in the earth today. So every week I'm writing new articles, and then we've got new videos, several every week. So at the end of every week, we send you an email. Hear the latest articles, hear the latest videos, summaries of what's there, so you won't miss anything. We really want to equip you. We really are here to infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong on the front line. So go to thelineoffire.org. Thelineoffire.org. When you go there, just click subscribe and everything else will come your way automatically. I'm speaking with Brian Sanders, who is the filmmaker for the documentary Why Stand With Israel. You can go to whystandwithisrael.com. The film officially releases May 14th. Use the code Israel25 to get a special discount when you go there. Brian, others have previewed this, I'm sure. You've had different viewers look at it over the process of putting it together. What kind of responses are you getting from those watching the documentary?
Well, it's really been amazing. They've said they loved it. They've learned things they've never heard before, even from believers, Christians, about being grafted in. And when you talk about what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2 about the one new man, where Jew and Gentile come together. And they also learned for the first time some of the anti-Semitism in the church's history. I know when you saw the film, you were probably aware of it, but we talk about how some of the, we called church fathers, like Martin Luther and Constantine. Well, he was a Roman emperor, but how Roman Emperor Constantine changed the signs and the seasons, and how he changed the Sabbath, Shabbat, from Saturday to Sunday to the Lord's Day, but didn't even realize how anti-Semitic Martin Luther was toward the end of his life. And other ones like St. John Chrysostom. You had others like, there's several in the film that talk about how anti-Semitic they were. And, you know,
on different levels. Of course, I wrote about this in great length in my book, Our Hands Are Stained With Blood. But it wasn't.
Yes.
It wasn't. I mean, Luther at the end of his life, you could say was anti-Semitic, but basically there was a theological understanding that produced a certain view of the Jewish people. So you know, Chrysostom said basically that they're like fattened animals ready to be slaughtered. You know, and yeah. That you know the synagogue is worse than a brothel. It's a den of iniquity, etc. And that all Jews through all time are now Christ killers. So, yeah, these things have plagued the church and have brought about misunderstanding. What I like, though, in the film, you do have different people saying it doesn't mean you agree with everything Israel does. Doesn't mean that Israel is without fault or blemish. And look, our greatest prayer is for the salvation of the Jewish people to come and know Jesus. And we believe also this is part of the sign of God's end-time redemption, bringing us back into the land, first the natural, then the spiritual. And then the spiritual will follow. But I'm glad viewers have been blessed and edified. And you were so enthusiastic to share about the content. I never got the answer. What was the first year that you went to Israel?
The first year was 2013 when I covered President Obama's visit for CBS.
Wow. Okay. So you got the burden to do this, but you only went for the first time in 2017. So
2013, sorry.
2013. Okay, right. That would work better for President Obama. Okay, so just in a minute, how did it impact you going there? Because you're going to take the viewer there, even if they've never been, you're going to take them there in this documentary.
Yeah.
Tell me in a minute how it affected you going there.
I saw, Dr. Brown, the Bible come to life. And I think most times when I talk to people that have gone there, or at least been there more than once, even for the first time, they said they saw the Bible come alive. You're going to read the Bible differently after going there. You're going to see and feel, I believe, God's presence there. I mean, you'll walk around the streets of Jerusalem where Yeshua, Jesus, walked. You're going to see all the sights, and you're going to truly feel why God chose the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. Just walking around this beautiful, amazing city and throughout the land. It's not big. It's about the size of the state of New Jersey. But I just feel pulled to go there. I always want to go back. It's always hard to leave. It's the scripture comes alive there. And if you love God's word, you love God and you love his people, I feel like you're going to have that same feeling and response. And for the most part, when I speak to people and I ask them that same thing, it's the same answer. They see God's heart there, and they see the Bible come alive.
Yeah, it's true. It is. There's just something about it, and it's non-political in that regard. It's just the ancient scripture coming alive.
There's no place like it in the world.
Absolutely true. Hey, again, friends, whystandwithisrael.com. Share it with a friend. May 14th, the official launch. Congratulations, and I'm blessed that I get to be part of it. Thanks so much, Brian.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. God bless. Okay. I'm so glad I got to watch all of it. I wanted to make sure I did before the interview, and thoroughly enjoyed it. Lots of good voices on it, colleagues, friends of mine. You know, my friend Scott Volk says that if you if you take a political side, I'm pro-Israel, I'm anti-Palestinian. I'm pro-Palestinian, I'm anti-Israel. But if you say, God, I want to be on your side, then you care for the Palestinians and you care for the Israelis. You recognize that each is precious in God's sight. You recognize that Jesus shed the same blood for Jew, for Gentile, for Muslim, for Christian. He shed the same blood for all of us. And we recognize that the death of a child is grievous, be it a Palestinian child, an Israeli child, an American child, that's grievous. So we recognize these things. We have God's heart. And at the same time, we understand he has purposes in the earth. And there are people through whom he works. And Amos 3:1, God says to Israel, you only have I known out of all the families on the earth, therefore I'll punish you for your iniquity. In other words, to whom much is given, much is required. So Israel's calling has been a painful calling. It has been a costly calling. Israel remains called, just as Israel remained the people of God, even in disobedience, as God said, for example, through the prophet Isaiah, my people don't know me. Call them my people. My people don't know me. And you know, an ox knows his owner, the animal knows his, the feeding trough, but my people don't know me. And this, in the book of Jeremiah, there's a fascinating verse where God says, as often as I rebuked him, my heart went out to him. So there was still that fatherly affection in the midst of the rebuke and the discipline and the punishment and the judgment that was still there because of a divine calling. And that divine calling remains, as Paul was quite explicit, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. So I want you to rest in this, friends. We are here not because of our faithfulness, but because of the faithfulness of God. And just as the Jewish people have endured as a people, not because of our faithfulness as Jews, but because of God's faithfulness to us. It's the same way in the Lord as followers of Jesus. Yes, we're experiencing the grace of God expressed through the cross that a Jewish person that doesn't know Jesus is not experiencing. I fully understand that. And we have a different covenant than Old Testament Israel had. Absolutely. And as I'm speaking, there is lightning and thunder. I can't see the lightning because I'm in my studio, but I can hear the thunder. And thankfully, it has not cut down our power again, as happened a few minutes ago. Can we make it to the end of the broadcast? And then the bigger question, are the flights going to be leaving on time when I get to the airport? No? All right. Okay. Kai is saying no. Chris is like not sure. Okay. And I'm going to say I have no idea. But if I've gotten announcements during the show, I don't know because I didn't check my phone. But here's what I wanted to say to you. Yes, God calls us to be responsible. Yes, there are consequences for our disobedience. I'm talking about as followers of Jesus. Yes, we will give account for our lives. But I want to emphasize that just as Israel has made it because of the faithfulness of God, not because of Israel's faithfulness, Israel has made it because of the goodness of God, not because Israel's goodness. So also you and I can rest in this, that the same God who kept his promises to Israel, all the more will he keep those promises through Jesus, the Messiah. There's a Hebrew principle, kal vachomer, which is literally light and heavy, an a fortiori argument, meaning and how much more argument. If, Jesus said, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, in Matthew 7:11 and then Luke 11:13, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask, or give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? If God could be trusted to keep his promises to Israel, how much more can he be trusted to keep his promises to his redeemed through the blood of Jesus? Conversely, if God can't be trusted to keep his promises to Israel, why would we think he would keep his promises to us? Let the faithfulness of God on behalf of Israel encourage you today that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. He is good to his word.